So let's go to the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1.
Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Paul is encouraging Timothy. Now when you say therefore, that means something he said before. Now the last week, if you remember, in the last paragraph, he said there are some people got offended because Paul was in jail, and some people went away from God and lost their faith and destroyed their spiritual life. And so he says, I don't want Timothy to be like those people. He says, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. The word of God says in St. John chapter 1 verse 17, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So without Jesus, there is no grace. And so he's saying, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. You know, when Paul starts serving the Lord, had all kinds of problems. The enemy were pressing him from everywhere, just like a thorn in the flesh. And he said, I prayed 3 times. And what God says? My grace is sufficient for you. So the person who had the experience of grace, he is saying, that grace I got it in Christ. So he says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Without grace, we won't be here. Our God is a good God. And the word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we got saved by the grace of God. Not by our works, but what? By the grace of God. So we are here by the grace of God. We got saved by the grace of God. We got all the blessings what the God is giving to us. Not because we are smart, but he says because the grace of God. And so when St. Paul says, when I had a problem, God says my grace is sufficient. Then some people said, you know, when you have some kind of problem and the word of God says my grace is sufficient, and they take the wrong interpretation. What they're taking the interpretation, God has given you this sickness and disease, so I'm giving you grace to suffer, and don't be worrying, stay in that kind of condition. That is not a grace. That's called disgrace. God gives you grace to come out of the problem. God gives you grace to be strong in the Lord, not falling from the grace. If the people have trouble and sickness and disease all the time and all kinds of problems, what witness they have? They have no witness. If they start telling something about God, they say, why you have this problem? Why have that problem? And if your God is all-sufficient God, you should not have any problems. But we have to be strong in the grace of God to let the people know what our God can do. I was witnessing to somebody in the train. It's in Bombay City. I stood there and I said, let me tell you what God can do. Our Jesus Christ is a miracle working God. And things like that. And I was wearing eyeglasses. And so the one person said, if your God can do miracles, why are you wearing eyeglasses? When he said it, I took my eyeglasses, put it in my pocket, and I said, give me anything to read. I will read it. He took the magazine, and there was a small block with a small letters. He said, can you read this? Before he could give it to me, I said, Lord, you help me. And I read it like very well. It's in my language. And so I read it very well, and he was not surprised. He said, You have a fake eyeglasses for sure. That's why you're reading. I opened my wallet and showed him the prescription from the doctor, because those eyeglasses were prescribed. So I showed him the doctor's prescription. So point I'm making, that day God gave me grace to tell that man, my God is all-sufficient God, and he gives me grace to live for him. From that day until today, how many years? Or maybe 54. That time I was not even the service, I was a believer. But God gave me faith to tell that man, my God is sufficient God, my God is a healer, and I can read without eyeglasses. I said, Lord, you gave me grace to read in that dark day. You can give me grace forever. From that day until today, I never wear eyeglasses. And I am driving in night and day and reading the Bibles, even the small letters. Gideon, New Testament, how small letters are. Those letters I can read. So point I'm making, St. Paul has the experience with Jesus Christ. And he says, my grace is all sufficient. Jesus said it to me. I'm telling you, when the trials and troubles and problems comes and people start dropping spiritually dead, don't get scared. He says, be strong in the grace that which is in Jesus Christ. So what we need? The grace of God. Verse 2.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Now he's saying to Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. What is he trying to say? He says, my testimony, not only I am giving, but I give the testimony to many people. And those people are testifying about me. What does it mean? Your life should be a testimony. When you testify to somebody, and that person tells somebody, and that person tells somebody, and many people will be telling about you to somebody. Paul is saying, you heard about me among many testimonies. Many people, they are telling what Paul is doing for the Lord. And so he's saying, many people have testified about me, and you heard about that. So what he's doing now? The same commit thou to faithful men. What does it mean? He said, you heard about me. Many people told you about me. Now, you do the same thing to many. Tell them about me, tell them about God, tell them about the Lord's work. You tell them among many people, you should keep on telling. And then he said, who shall be able to teach others also? And so to whom he says, you teach faithful people. You don't throw your pearls in front of swines. The word of God says, the word of God is like a pearl. Word of God is gives you life. So you don't go and talk to somebody, he's a drunk man in the bar. Do you want to know about Jesus? He would not know anything, because his mind is not alert. So he says, teach whatever you learn to faithful people. But people have faith in God. People wants to know about God. Teach them. Witness to people. You never know. I told you last week, I witnessed to somebody. He didn't want to hear. I gave him the card. He threw the card away. I left the card there and went. 3 years later, he came knocking at our door. Yesterday, we were shopping. The man came and he just said, hi, how are you? Do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. Why? Jesus Christ is in me. Wherever I go, Jesus is with me. And I am so blessed. God gave me everything and this and that. I said, sir, did you read in a book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25? It says, do not forsake assembling together. Jesus Christ is coming. And he said, well, Jesus Christ has blessed me. We are healthy. Nobody is sick in my family. No death in my family. I said, here is the card. I gave it to you. And sir, someday you may be looking for a church. Then come. He didn't throw the card. He took the card and put it in his pocket and walked away. So point I'm making, don't get discouraged. Try to tell people about Jesus Christ. But he's saying, tell faithful people. So always tell people and teach them what you know. Verse 3.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Now he is saying, Timothy, you are a soldier. Soldier of Christ. And you know American soldier. I don't know other soldiers. Talk to American soldiers. See how much training they have to go through. How much hardship they have to do. Some of the people in training, they say, oh, we cannot do it. And they just drop out. But some of the soldiers are going for training. They took the hard training. Sometimes we think, how can these people survive like this? And they do. That's what he's saying. You endure hardships or hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying, not the soldiers who start training and runs away. Be a good soldier. Be a good worker. Be a good man of God. You are serving the Lord, telling others about Jesus Christ, and keeping your testimony pure and holy. It's not easy. You have to give up certain things to be a Christian. You cannot call yourself Christian and work like a demon. You cannot say, I'm a Christian and work like a heathen. If you are a Christian, what is the meaning Christian means? Followers of Christ. You follow as Christ worked in this world. We are his hands and his feet, and we are his body. People are not seeing Christ here and there. They are looking at you. If you're not going to church, if you're not praying, you're not doing things pleasing to God, then what kind of Christian are you? They are going to blame you. So here he's saying, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That means if you say I'm a Christian or I'm a soldier of Christ, you cannot tangle with the worldly thing. The worldly things, you know, all kinds of worldly things. You see TV, they will be advertising about beer, about liquor, about fancy things, and all kinds of ladies, and all kinds of games, and all kinds of things. And sometimes you get entangled. As a Christian, all kinds of struggle you go through, problems. People will bring the problems. But you say, be a good soldier. And then he's giving the example of the soldiers, how those soldiers or the people who wants to serve the country, they have to sacrifice their life. If the government or whoever chosen you to be a soldier, you try to please that person. If you don't, you will lose your job. When you get a job, any job, be faithful in your work. You don't say, well, I'm going to work for 3 months until I get permanent. Then I will do, you know, whatever I want to do. It doesn't work that way. If you are a Christian and you got a job, you are not doing for money, you are doing for Christ. And so he said, be a good soldier. Okay, verse 5.
And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
Now again he is saying the same subject. If a man Also strive for the masteries. What does it mean? You want to do something perfect. Just think that marathon runners or anything you do in Olympic. If you break the law, you are out. If you're doing something and you want to have mastery over this and you want to get the crown or you want to get the prize, what do you do? Do lawfully. Means don't break the law. Don't cheat in your job. Don't cheat whatever you're doing. Nobody's watching doesn't mean nobody's watching. God is watching. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says, nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes. So he is watching over you. So God is watching. So he said, you want to be perfect? What you're doing? Do lawfully. Do according to the word of God. Do according to what the Bible says. Now today people says, you know, Bible is too old. Now we are in the 21st century. Things are changed. So we can do whatever we want to do now. In the 2000 years ago, they used to marry. Now we are in 21st century. We don't have to marry. We can stay together. Everybody's doing it. So we can do it too. It doesn't work that way. You should go according to the word of God, not the laws of the world. What the word of God is teaching you, word of God did not change. The word of God says, the heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not. His word lives forever. So we have to go according to the word of God, not what your neighbor does, or what your uncle or aunt does. We are not looking at them. Who is our model? Christ. Looking unto Christ, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So he is saying, you want to be mastery over things? Then do it according to the rules. You want to go in a marathon, you want to go swimming, you want to do anything, do everything what the law says. They are rules and regulations. If you do according to rules and regulations, you will win your prize. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, verse 6.
The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits.
Now someone say, what in the world in this chapter, this husbandman and the fruit and partakers came in this about the soldier and serving the Lord? He's trying to say, when you're serving the Lord, when you're serving God, God is watching over you and he knows what is your needs are. Then he's giving the example of the farmer. He's a hard-working farmer. When he sows the seed and the fruit comes, what he does? He eats that fruit first. Just like you are cooking a delicious dish. What you do? You first taste it. You are the one who would know how that food tastes. The same way if you are a good farmer and you are working in a farm and you work hard, you should not be ashamed to eat the first fruit. So what is he trying to say to Timothy? Timothy, you are working hard in the vineyard. You are working hard for Christ. So don't you be afraid. Take the offering or the money from the believers and survive.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
What he's trying to say, he did not use the word offering. He did not use the word money. He did not use the word some kind of gain, but he gave the example of farmer. Farmer is the first fruit because he worked hard. So he says, what I'm saying, God will give you understanding. What I'm telling you. Because this letter will be read in the church. So he gave him a hint. I am talking to you about how you're going to survive. How your physical needs will be met. You are the worker there. So he says, consider this what I'm saying. So he said, think what I'm saying. What I'm saying, God will give you understanding what I'm saying. What? Get the money, get the offering, and survive. Because you are working, hard-working man, like a soldier, like a farmer. So don't be afraid to take offering for yourself and survive. That's what he's trying to say. Okay. Verse 8.
Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Now he's saying, remember Jesus Christ. Who is he? He says, Jesus Christ is the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now somebody would say, how can he say Jesus Christ was raised according to my gospel? That means I said it and that's why Jesus raised. No. What he's trying to say, I know who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the seed of David. Why he's saying seed of David? What is the more important about seed of David? Because the David was the king, the best king they ever had. Even the Solomon was the richest king, but the David was the best spiritual king. David was like after God's heart, a good man. He made a mistake, so many mistakes, but he always repented and put it right with God. But he says, the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. What does it mean? He says, I learned about Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. You know what he says? The genealogy of Jesus Christ, who is the son of David and son of Abraham. Why in the world he says son of David and son of Abraham? Because Matthew is trying to tell the Jewish people, do you know who Jesus is? Jesus is the king. He comes from the David's family. And now he's saying to the Timothy, he's not only coming from the David's family, but this king is alive. He's a risen king. And how? Because he said, I heard about his resurrection. He met me. I know who Jesus Christ is. He's not a dead God, he's alive. So he said, I am preaching this to everyone. And so he says, this is the same message you should be telling. So what? According to what I preach. The truth that Jesus Christ is risen. So that means, he says, gospel means what? Good news. He said, I am giving you good news that Jesus Christ is not dead, he's alive, he's risen. And that's the gospel I'm preaching. That's what he says, according to my gospel means, I made up my mind, this is the gospel I'm going to preach. And so you preach also. Okay, verse 9.
Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound.
Now he's saying, you know what? When I start preaching about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the son of David, that Jesus Christ is the seed of David, that Jesus Christ is a risen God, Jesus Christ is almighty, and all of these things I'm preaching as a good news, and because of that, I am having problem. The Jewish people are beating him, putting him in jail, so many problems comes, and he says, and now I'm in prison. Why? I didn't murder anybody. I didn't do anything wrong, but why I'm in prison? Because I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he said, don't worry. Even though I am in the bound, I am in chain, but the gospel is not chained. The gospel is not bound. The gospel is still, I am preaching. So, you know, somebody can bind you, but they cannot bind your heart. They cannot bind your soul. So the Saint Paul is saying, I'm in prison because preaching the gospel. But he says, the gospel is not bound. Gospel is free. Wherever you go. Other day I met one man. And something happened. And
They put him in prison. It's not a murder or nothing, a simple thing. And that man got saved in a prison. He was a Catholic. And now he said, I can go to Catholic Church, but I don't, because I learned more about Jesus in prison. So he said, now I'm totally sold out to Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say, gospel is not bound. The man was in a prison, but he's free. There is another man I met. He was in a death row. He did so many things, wrong thing. In the prison, he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he prayed, Lord, I want to preach. But how can I get out of here because I'm in a death row? See what God did. God took his record and just wiped it off. Means completely clean. And they're looking for this person. His name is not in her diary. And one officer comes and says, sir, what are you doing in here? He says, you put me here. He says, we cannot find your record. We don't know how to judge you. I let you go. And this man came out, started preaching on TV, and he was saying, Lord, now I'm 55 years old. I want a ready-made family. If somebody's listening to me, I want ready-made family. I want to get married and I want to have family. There was a pastor who died, leaving two children and wife. And those children were watching the news. They said, Mommy, Mommy, we found the daddy. The mommy said, what happened? He said, come on, come on, this is the man. He's going to be our daddy. The lady called the man, got married, and then he got one daughter from her. And I went to his service, and I have his tape. So he said, now I'm a living proof as a Abraham. After 55 years old, I got a new little baby in my house. So what I'm trying to say, the gospel is not bound. You bound in chain, but gospel is free. Wherever you go, you can preach the gospel. Verse 10.
Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus.
Now he's saying, why I'm in jail? Because I was preaching the gospel to Jewish people. When he say elect sakes, elect ones are the Jewish people, are God's people. First of all, the God chosen Jewish people for himself. The out of Jewish people, the Christianity came. So he says the elect people are the children of Israel, the Jewish people. Because I want those people to have salvation, they should know about Jesus Christ, and they should have the eternal life and glorious life in eternity. That's why I'm suffering here, telling my Jewish people. But many people gave him hard time, and one time he said, I am shaking the dust off my clothes, I will go to Gentiles. But God called him to preach the gospel to Gentiles, but he went to Jewish people first. Just like the word of God says in St. John chapter 1 verse 11. Jesus Christ went to his own, and his own received him not. But he says, as many as received him, to them he gave to be power and authority to be called the sons of God. So the gospel came to us. We are not Jewish. We should be thankful to God. Verse 11.
It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
Now he says, it is a faithful saying. What is a faithful saying? He says, and if you die with him, or if you're dead in Christ, then what? You shall also live with him. Now somebody says, what kind of preaching is this? When you're dead, you are alive. He says, when you are alive and live a sinful life, what you are? You are dead. So he said, if you are alive in this world, spiritually you are dead. But if you die in Christ, what do you mean die in Christ? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you die to the world. Die to smoking, drinking, gambling, sinful life. You are dead. So if you are dead in Christ, then you are going to live with Him. Our life in this world is very short. People are thinking, oh, enjoy the life. But what are they enjoying? Enjoying the death. Enjoying the eternal death. So the Word of God is saying, you know, when we live with Christ, we suffer with Christ, we can reign with Him. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 10 to 18.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
See, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness.
But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
If Jesus Christ was risen because God raised Him, same God, if you live in Christ, if you have the same Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ, you will not die, you will be raised.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
See, if you live according to the flesh, means the desires of flesh, you will die. And that death is separation from God for eternity. But if you live spiritually, you will live eternally.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together.
See what he's trying to say? If we are the children of God, then we are the heirs with Christ. That whatever the Christ has is belong to us. And then you say, if you are joint heirs with Christ, then what you do? Suffer with Jesus Christ. If you want to have the glorious kingdom and you want to rule with Jesus and you want to gain everything what God has given to Jesus Christ, then you have to suffer with Him.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
See what he's trying to say. In this world, you suffer for Christ. He said, this suffering we compare with the eternal glory what you're going to get is nothing comparing to that. We are suffering in this world how many years? Your life may be 120. 120 years you suffer, you think like, oh, I suffer a lot. But eternity, you cannot count how many years you are going to live with Christ and how many years you will be having blessings. For eternity, that means you cannot compare that blessing with this suffering what you have today. Let's read the John chapter 5, verse 24. It says, you pass from death unto life and no condemnation. What does it mean? If you're living in this world, you're going to die. But if you live for Christ, you have eternal life and no condemnation also. Okay, let's go back to Timothy chapter 2, verse 12.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us.
Okay, now again he's saying, if you really suffer with Him, then we reign with Him. We just read it in Romans. But we have to have a vision. What I'm doing for Him? If you read in a book of Romans, we were there, go back again, and start reading from verse 36 to 39. What Paul is saying, if you really love Jesus Christ, no one has power to separate you from Christ.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life...
See, neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Go ahead.
Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Can you love like this? What's Paul saying? I love Jesus Christ as so much. No one has power to pull me out from the love of Jesus Christ, or separate me, or make me backslidden. No one. Once you love Jesus Christ, you will give your life for him, because he gave his life for us. That's the kind of vision we should have. I'm not suffering for Jesus Christ for nothing. I'm going to reign with him. I'm going to live with him for eternity. I'm the ambassador of Christ on this earth. I'm the one going to tell other people about Jesus. So they are going to spit on me. They are going to beat me. They are going to say false things about me. They're going to do all kinds of things. But I'm not going to worry, because I have put my trust in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, our outward man, this is outward man, means our body, but the inward man is real person. So see what he says. Please read.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
See, the outward man perishes every day, but the inward man renewed, getting new every day. Is that your experience? Even though you're getting old, you don't feel old if you have Christ in you. Once you have inward man renewed, then even though you're old, you do not feel old. You feel young. Only you feel old when everybody says you're old. That's why people hide their age. So what I'm trying to say, outward body perishes, inward man getting stronger every day.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment.
See what he said, for our light affliction is but for a moment. Light affliction. Affliction is there, but he says, it's not a hard one. It's very light. Comparing to what you're going to get a glory, this affliction is nothing. Because we are going to have eternal weight of glory. That means the glory you're going to get is a heavy duty.
Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
So he said, don't look at your problems. So what the word of God is saying, magnify the Lord. Your problem is nothing. When you see your problem and your problem is too big, that means you're making your God smaller. When you have a problem, start magnifying the Lord bigger than your problem. Our God is what? Bigger than our problem. So he says, these things in this world are short period of time. But our God is going to give you blessings for eternally. So the time for today, what you have, is nothing comparing to what glory you're going to get. Let's go to our chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13.
If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the hearers.
What he's trying to say? He's saying, if somebody backslidden, or somebody says, I don't believe in God, our God doesn't change. As I said earlier, 21st century people changed. The Bible didn't change, God didn't change. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is what? Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is not going to change. The situation changed, the people changed, but our God doesn't change. If you deny him, if you forsake God, he stays faithful all the time. And that's why he's saying,
These things you remember and charge other people and tell them to do the same. Let's read the verse 14.
Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers.
What things? These things, he said. What things? The things we read from the chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. All these things, he said, tell others. Tell others what you learn. When we go into church, we are going to learn something. And when we learn, put it in a practice and tell others. The Word of God has power, life, and it is profitable. Listen to the Word of God. And that's the way our spiritual life is going to be strong and healthy, and we will be witnessing to other people. So he says, we have to tell others. It is not easy, it is hard. Time is not permitting me. God willing, next week we will start from verse 15. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. You have called us with a definite high calling. You have given us eternal life, and we are going to bring it many souls to your kingdom. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.